Welcome to the Your Courageous Life podcast, where we discuss psychology and tools to help you create better habits, cultivate discipline, and live with courage, aka grit and emotional resilience. I'm your host, Kate Swoboda. Learn more about my books and get additional resources at yourcourageouslife.com. And now, here's today's episode. Hey there, everybody. It is Kate, and today's episode is about how to find better friends. And I want to make sure that I clarify what I mean by that, because I definitely don't want it to sound snooty or arrogant or anything like that. And I also want to be clear, too, about how I'll be approaching today's episode. I'm going to trust that you already know some strategies to find friends, like joining groups, host a dinner party where you ask known friends to bring along a friend of theirs who might be a good fit, compatible, initiate conversations, things like that. Today's episode is more so about how to find better friends, meaning when you're first meeting someone, how to early on identify the qualities, the characteristics of someone who would likely make a solid friend. Meaning, like, find those people who are going to espouse the qualities of friendship, like being dependable, for instance, that you probably want in your life. And I will also speak to some of the signs that indicate that someone isn't a match for friendship or what you're seeking. Related to this, I do think everything I'm talking about in today's episode would also apply to someone's dating life, because they're all tied to connection, but I'll focus mostly on friendships. And the reason that I thought of doing this episode is because I'm sure I'm not alone in having seen so many articles where people talk about an epidemic of loneliness. And I think that that's a really common thing. And I think it happens for many reasons. I think it was accelerated by the pandemic. But basically, a lot of people feel a sense of loneliness that we haven't necessarily felt in our society at quite such a level as we do currently. So I was thinking about that. The other reason I was thinking about it too is because there's a lot going on out there of, like, how do you spot harmful behavior early before you're emotionally invested in the relationship? So I think that some of what I'll talk about today will help with that as well. Now, getting into this, when I say better friends, of course, I don't mean that you are better than other people somehow, or that I am, or that anyone is, or that other humans aren't worthy of your time or your company or something like that. I'm also not saying that your current friends suck and should change. I'm not saying that your friends need to be just like you. By better, when I say how to find better friends, I mean, how do we find and identify those people whose values are aligned with ours? I'm not talking about values like your religious values. I'm talking about, like, your basic values of, you probably have a value that when you make a mistake, someone is not going to beat you up over it, right? Like, that type of value alignment. How do we find those people who indicate that they're going to walk the world with kindness or understanding or graciousness, or really all the values that build some kind of long-term connection rather than just temporary fleeting connections? And I think there are ways to kind of spot this about people early on, which is really helpful because, of course, once you're emotionally invested, it can be really tricky to figure out if something isn't working in the relationship. Like, why isn't this working? What's going on here? I have been really thinking a lot about how to find friends in general, and particularly how to find better friends, because I moved twice during the pandemic. You probably know this if you are a regular listener, but basically in the middle of the pandemic, pretty early on actually, May 2020, I moved to a totally different state where I knew no one who lived in the state. And then only a year after that, in June of 2021, I moved to yet another different state where I did not have any strong existing friendships. I knew, like, a couple, like, people from the internet kind of a thing. Like I knew who they were and I knew they lived there, but I didn't like have friends in either of these communities. So basically landing in two totally different communities twice during a divisive political climate, during COVID when meeting up with people in general was harder. This has been on my mind a lot. And I feel like over the past several years, I have learned a lot about how to identify people who could be a good connection, and also the things that I notice that indicate that it's just probably not a match. Not that anybody's bad, not that I'm better, nothing like that. That's icky. But just who may or may not be a match. So let's get into it. And I actually, to get into it, before I start talking about the things to notice, I want to start this episode by asking you to consider some questions. You might want to find better friends, meaning people who are more aligned with you and things like that. Well, what do you actually want in friendships specifically? Do you want friends who text you back? Do you want friends who make time for you to meet up in person? Do you want to be around people who are solution-seeking when times are tough? These are kind of weird questions, right? Because you might be like, well, of course I do. But quite literally, when we are first meeting new people, there's a tendency to focus on the rapport and not actually notice these sorts of things. And then we're disappointed when those sorts of things aren't present. Do you want to be around people who are gracious in the face of your mistakes? Do you want to be connected to integrated, self-aware, creative, connected people who are functioning with an adult level of maturity? And I don't mean boring adult level of maturity, of course. I mean, you know, integrated, self-aware level of maturity. So if you want any of those things, that's what I'm going to help you to identify today. And you might be thinking of some other things that these questions are sparking in you, but really get clear, like, what am I actually looking for in friendships? What's actually important to me in a friendship? All right, so here's the first thing that I personally look at and invite you to look at as well. You meet somebody new, things like that. This is the first thing to look for. Accept that effort says something about the relationship and recognize that early and don't waste your time. Accept that effort says something about the relationship and don't waste your time when you notice that there's a lack of effort. So let me explain. Let's say you're meeting someone new. Maybe you meet with them, you chat for a few minutes, like at a park, your kids are playing or something like that. And you exchange contact info because you think it might be a connection. Later, after the park, you text them. You say, it was really great meeting you. And then maybe you text them a meme, you know, some kind of like funny thing that you had said in the conversation. I saw this meme the other day. It was so hilarious. And so you text them the meme you were talking about, something about like corporate work life, maybe because that's what you were talking about at the playground. When they text you back, let's say that they say, haha, and leave it at that. Doesn't give you a lot to go on to keep the conversation going, does it? And I could see, okay, fine. You know, people are getting to know each other. You're listening to this and you're a normal, sane human. You didn't expect that they were going to text back with like a novel length cultural critique on corporate. But the text, haha, really isn't creating a connection either. Now, let's say that you're like, okay, got it. Like, we're still getting to know each other. I don't want to be weird, but you see the haha from them. And so you text back, yeah, I love a good meme about corporate. Gotta laugh through the work week sometimes. And you're just trying to keep the conversation going. You're just trying to be friendly, all of that. And then imagine that the next thing they reply to your text with is totally. Just one word, totally. Nothing more. Here's the thing, and you gotta realize this early, and just don't waste your time. They are showing you the kind of friend they'll be. Like right now, They're showing you how much capacity they have for friendship. And it doesn't mean they don't like you, actually. It just means that they don't have capacity for connection, as demonstrated by their behavior. And now, here's the thing. I've really looked into this. There are some people who would say, Kate, you don't understand. This is generational, actually. The younger generations just don't communicate the way older generations do. This person might actually be interested in connecting. A haha and a totally could absolutely be considered a legit conversation for my generation, Kate. By the way, in case anyone's wondering what generation I hail from, Gen X. I don't really get into the generation wars, but Gen X. So, okay, fine. If that's what you want to believe, all right, here's what I'm going to say. The younger generations after Gen X are struggling with far greater levels of loneliness and disconnection. So let's just cut the shit and stop pretending that this is just a different generational communication style. It's not a different style, or maybe it is. It's more so, it's a shitty communication style. It just is. It's not creating connection. So, and this is not an entire generation that would only communicate one way, right? Like within every generation, there are people who would give you more than a haha and a totally, okay? Liking someone's text, if you're on an Apple device and you can hold down the button and you can like a text, that is not communicating. Giving someone a one-word response to a text or an emoji is not communicating. Now, I am bringing up this specific example, and I know there's going to be someone listening who's going to be like, okay, Kate, if you've had a text exchange like that, get the hint. They don't like you. Here's the thing. I've had more than one experience where that was the text exchange, and then I would randomly see the person somewhere else, and they would be so friendly and like the way they were when we first saw each other, and even like invite me over to their house for dinner. But the relationship could never really go anywhere because there's nothing in between. It's like there's just nothing there to develop. They're not communicating, and that's okay. That's okay. So look, you know, like I get it. If someone you're trying to connect with is communicating with you via occasional emojis, two-word, one-word, you know, sentences or responses, you know, if they say they'd like to get together sometime and they don't ping you back to get dates on the calendar, if they see you randomly at the grocery store and they don't invite you over for dinner, got it. They're not actually interested. They didn't feel the spark that maybe I did. But I'm literally talking about situations where there are these long stretches where I don't talk to people, but then when we're together, they act like, oh my God, yeah, let's hang out. And it's just like, that's fine. It can be what it can be, but it's not going to become a friendship if I go months without talking to someone beyond like a couple of emojis. It's just not. And it doesn't mean they're bad people. People who are doing this, I'm not trying to go on and on about me. I'm going to bring it back to you. People who do this, because I know I'm not the only one who's experienced this. People who do this are not bad people. They're just not available for friendship. They're not available for it. For friendship. That could be for a whole host of reasons. And maybe they just have too much going on. Maybe they're going through a rough season, like trying to find a new job after a layoff, and they don't want to disclose that to you because it feels too personal. Like, I don't know. You won't know. No one will know but them, if they are even aware that how they're communicating is coming across that way. What you can know is just that they're not available for friendship. So learn to recognize that early and don't waste your time trying to make it more than it is. And if there's anyone listening to this and there are people that you know you actually do want to connect with, but via text you don't really make the effort to keep a conversation going, I just got to tell you, you're not indicating that you're available for friendship with that person. And again, if all you want is the occasional dinner or meetup, cool, that's fine. This podcast episode is about how to find friends, not occasional I'll grab a drink with you people or I'll grab coffee with you people. If you are not indicating that you are available, people aren't mind readers. They're going to go, okay, I'm taking the hint. I don't have an interest in connecting. And even for those people who do have an interest in connecting, but they're not giving a lot back in those early stages of friendship, I do not recommend that you try harder to make the connection happen, because it's like you're setting the stage to have to project manage the relationship. You are teaching those people how to treat you, and you will end up being the person who always has to initiate. You will end up being the person who always has to reach out. You will end up being the person who is having a really bad day and wants that friend who's going to text you back when you're having a bad day, and they won't be available. So they're showing you early on like what they have capacity for. They're not bad people, but it's not worth your time. And again, what I've described in this earlier example with the lackluster texting, it's not a style of communicating. It's a demonstration of words and actions not being in alignment. I'm really a believer, like let people do what they're going to do and let their actions speak for them. If someone says they want to connect with more people and they want to find more friends, they're a little lonely, they got to act like they have a desire for connection. And that doesn't mean that they're obligated to come back to a text with like a novel's worth of information, but you got to come back with something more than an emoji or a two-word sentence. And I really do think too, for the people who are listening to this, I've had a couple of conversations with other friends of mine who have moved to new places. We are all having the same experience, okay? So you are not just like some hapless, socially clueless person who can't figure out how to make friends. Quite literally, this is a thing. It's a cultural thing that's happening. And you, the person listening to this, if you have been trying to make friends and finding that you're running into the same things I'm describing, you are worth more than an emoji. You are worth more than a two-word sentence or a ha-ha in response to your text. Like, you have more to offer in terms of connection. It's just such a low bar, texting. And that's, you know, I've just learned to not put effort into any relationship where someone can't handle a bit of texting. It's just such a low bar. It's 1 minute of someone's life to respond to a text message. So if they can't invest 1 minute in the early stages of a possible connection to see if there's anything there that might develop, all of that, just let go, cut your losses. Because without question, every single connection I've forged in my life over the past few years, there was that sense of reciprocity around making an effort to be in connection with one another. My dearest friends will respond to communication. And I get it. Also, people, there might be someone who's listening to this is like going, Kate, you don't understand. I hate texting. Texting is not my way to connect. I suck at texting. I communicate better in person. Yeah, all possibilities. But here's the thing. In this cultural moment, texting is the most common way that an early friendship is going to build. I prefer in-person conversations over texting too. I'm with you. But this is the cultural moment we're in. And someone who isn't willing to put that 1 minute into a text exchange is signaling low understanding or acceptance of that landscape. I've got a number of very dear friends who are haphazard texters, meaning they don't get back to me immediately, which I don't have an expectation of, but sometimes it could be a few days that could go by before they'll get back to me. And I've been that person too. We've all not responded to something. But for sure, it does happen. My friends do get back to me and I get back to them. And when we get back to each other, we respond with something that's a true response to the conversation. So just accept where people are at. Don't try to make them be in a place that you want them to be in. Accept that they are going to be where they're going to be. It might not be what you want. You might have been like, oh, this is such a bummer because I just felt such a connection with them. If they felt the connection with you, they will reach out more. If they felt the connection with you and they are clued in to this cultural moment where texting is how a lot of people, when they first meet you know, they usually, it's kind of like you first meet someone, you text back and forth with them a little bit, then you go, hey, why don't we get together sometime? That's what I've been seeing happening. It's like, that's the flow usually. And just trust that you can move on and you'll have another chance encounter at a park or waiting in line at Starbucks or wherever it is. So that's the first one. Accept that effort says something about the relationship. Recognize that early and don't waste your time. And if there's anything, I know some of you might be thinking about dating in relationship to this. Oh yeah, hell yeah around dating. Hell yeah around dating. I've been out of the dating pool for a long time. I'm happily married, all of that. But like, you definitely deserve more than a ha-ha with somebody you're trying to get to know because you might be developing into a romantic relationship with them. All right, next thing. Pay attention to how they talk about or handle things in life that require accountability. Pay attention to how they talk about or handle things in life that require accountability. Because accountability is taking responsibility for your life. So that's time. That's jobs. That's money. That's follow through. In the aggregate, across several domains of their life, do they struggle with being accountable? If they do, acquaintance zone. Keep them as acquaintances at best. For now, right? Okay? For now. Could develop into something else, but again, this is the stuff that you're looking for when you're first meeting someone because you don't want to get to a point where you're emotionally invested before you realize, oh wait, this person is just not someone I can make a connection with, not a true friendship connection. So for instance, does this person make plans with you and cancel last minute, with last minute being defined as anything with less than 24 or 48 hours notice? One time? Okay. It happens. Two times? Okay. Three times? No. Immediately no. And no, I am saying this and I don't care if the person has kids. I have a kid too. I don't care if the person says it's been a busy work week. I have busy work weeks too. Will I cancel occasionally due to my kid or a busy work week? Sure. But over and over, three times? No. And my dearest friends, same thing. Sure, yeah, like people get sick. Come on, my friends get sick and call me and or text me usually and say, hey, I'm really sorry, I'm not feeling well, I've got to cancel. And that will happen sometimes last minute, but they don't do it over and over. Another example of this, you know, looking at how people are handling things in life that require accountability, I think this is a good one. If they talk to you about a coworker or a friend or a family member that they're frustrated by or in conflict with, and you ask them, oh, wow, like that's really tough. You know, what's happening when you try to talk to them about this? If they say, I haven't even tried to talk to them, followed by a list of reasons why they can't, proceed with caution. Because here's the concern I would have. That's someone who might not be accountable around talking to you if they are upset with you. When people are frustrated with other people, notice their orientation. I have friends going through divorces right now. And one thing that I notice about how they talk about it, the divorce, is how often they use I statements. Like even when my friend's exes are doing the most ridiculous things and the divorce is contentious, I hear my friends talking about what they feel, not fixating on the 10 shitty things their ex has done. And yeah, do they vent about that once in a while or when something particularly ridiculous happens? Of course. Yeah, absolutely. But most of the time, what they say is about them and their experience and their feelings. So they're using a lot of I statements. It's just something to notice. Money is another area where you might see someone lack accountability. So jokes about credit card debt while they simultaneously charge $50 worth of margaritas to their card. And again, I'm not doing anything in this episode that's about like people are better than other people and judging and arrogance and all that, because we all overspend sometimes. I'm not sitting over here on a pile of perfect financial choices over the course of my lifetime. The question is it chronic? It's just an indicator. I have one dear friend who, when we talk about our plans for the year, I notice that she always puts some kind of travel plan into her agenda that's international. And one thing I always notice is how she talks about budget. And she's not like giving me a detailed rundown of her finances or anything, but she makes these simple statements that indicate her self-awareness and her accountability around money. And it just sounds like, yeah, I really want to go to Japan this year. I'm looking at my budget to see if I can afford it. Right? So it's like, it's that type of statement. I have no idea what her bank account balance is or her credit card balance is or any of that. It's just hearing those sorts of things. I'm looking at my budget, things like that. Goals and follow through. Another area where you might just listen to see if someone lacks accountability. They say they're going to get a new job this year, but they make no moves to do it. They tell you they're going to train for the 5K starting next week, and you ask them, oh, how'd that go? And then it's like, oh, you know, I didn't end up doing it. And you know what? My you know what stinks just like anyone else's. I have absolutely set goals and then not followed through, but it's not the trend in my life. It's not chronic. Same thing for my dearest friends. It's not the trend. It's not chronic. Yes, my friends sign up for 30-day challenges, and then I talk to them about it later, and they're like, I kind of fell apart after 2 weeks. But like, they're not talking about it like, that's it, I'm done, I'm not doing anything else. They're talking about it like, fell apart after 2 weeks. I realized that actually I was chasing something that wasn't an important goal to me. Or I realized that given that the work projects that I have going on right now, I made a mistake in terms of signing up for this 30-day challenge, and I think I'm going to restart it on the other side of this project, right? It's stuff like that. That's what you're listening for. So again, I don't think we should judge people as bad people as we evaluate these things. Someone who struggles with accountability isn't bad. And I keep repeating this so much because there are so many bros out there. The bros, I know you know who I'm talking about. The bros who are like, if you want to up-level your life, you have to evaluate who you allow into your inner circle and cut anyone who doesn't align with your priorities. And it's like, I get what they're trying to say. I think there's some level of that that is true. But I also am just going, it sounds so judgy. It sounds so judgy. Like, where's the space for people to be human? People will be human. Someone who struggles with accountability isn't bad. I'm not saying dismiss them as less than. I'm saying watch out for this trait. Watch out for if someone struggles with accountability with their time, their money, their follow through, whatever they struggle with, they will probably eventually struggle with accountability in a way that impacts the friendship. I remember knowing someone at 30 who had made a series of poor financial choices and ended up moving in with her parents. And that's fine. That happens in life by the grace of God. I've made some poor financial choices myself, and I just happen to have been lucky enough not to need to move back in with my parents when I've done those things. But that was how the cookie crumbled for her. But I remember I was so struck by a day where she was complaining that her parents were asking her to take out the trash, and that her parents were upset with her for not getting their car that they owned, that she was using, back to them on time for an appointment that they needed to get to. So here we are in our 30s, and these are high school problems. Like, you're living with your parents rent-free, you're using their car free of charge, and then resenting that you have to return the car on time or take out the trash and help out around the house, it's just not a good look. It sounds like a teenager complaining about their parents when you're 30. You're not a teenager anymore. And no shocker, how that person and I ended up no longer being in contact with one another was not a maturely handled situation. It was about like how I'd imagine a high schooler would handle a situation. So people who chronically struggle with accountability will either not come through for you at a critical moment, or they'll see you making different choices that are accountable in your own life, and they'll compare themselves to you and feel insecure. It just comes with a host of problems. Lack of accountability is a form of emotional immaturity. And you deserve to be around people who, generally speaking, are emotionally mature, self-aware, integrated. You deserve to be surrounded by people who, generally speaking, think that follow-through matters. And that will translate to how they treat you in the relationship. Okay, third thing. Pay attention to how the people you meet frame their problems. And as a general rule, I try to spend more time with people who frame problems from a place of self-awareness and context. And I try to spend less time with people who solely blame others or who want to get a zinger in at someone else's expense. And this is not, by the way, a nudge for you to, quote unquote, go find positive people. And listen for what people say. And if they say positive things, be their friend. And if they talk about anything negative, avoid them. It's more nuanced than that. Because here's the thing. I think someone can be self-aware and also express frustration by a problem. And it might show up in their intonation too. So like strong intonation, strong feelings, that's not an issue. What's an issue is where they orient, how they're framing problems. So let me get into some examples. So people who are self-aware will talk about conflict or frustration using language such as, I keep thinking about what I can do and I feel like I'm at a loss. I don't know how to handle this and it just pisses me off. In this example, it's not all happy, happy, joy, joy, right? Someone's indicating that they're trying to figure out what to do. They're considering solutions and they're just being real about the fact that they're frustrated. They're not giving this sparkly glitter accounting of something as if their lives are perfect. By their own admission, they are struggling. I think there are people who actually take the go find positive people advice and then they run into someone who sounds frustrated because they are. And then they're like, oh, well, I don't want to be friends with that person. And they're missing that context matters. And they're missing that the framing of the problem and the orientation of the problem matters. And possibly also they're missing that sometimes the people who only talk about positive things, while that can be pleasant to be around, that you might not be getting all of who they are because nobody is always positive. Come on, right? Like everybody is something that frustrates them. So you're not trying to seek out people who seem like they're always happy. And I try to be understanding because I would hope someone would give this to me because I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. I try to be really understanding that if someone is actually complaining, it's because they're hurting, they're unhappy, they're struggling. I empathize with that. If you're friends with me and you're struggling, I'm going to listen when you complain because I get it. You're struggling. It's tough. I don't expect my friends to be perfect and never complain, but I do look at how over time, consistently, the general trend, how people frame problems. I think a really relevant example I've found in recent years is talking about oppression. If I'm speaking with someone about oppression and everything they say is about how fucked the system is and it's always been that way and it's always going to be that way and we tried to do this but that didn't work and da, da, da. They might call themselves a realist and they might be right about every single thing they say, but I'm not around for that because that lens, when the focus is really dug in on how everything is a problem and there's nothing we can do, that is parasitic to me and to my mental health. I want to be around people who can say that things are unfair, who will own that oppression is real, because it is, and who are interested in finding solutions, no matter how hard things are. So really make sure you're understanding me correctly on this, by the way, if you're feeling upset in hearing me say this, because I'm in no way saying that I try to find friends who don't talk about politics or don't feel passionately about the issues. I'm specifically talking about how the problem is framed and whether or not it's framed, whether or not the orientation is one where solutions are possible, or if it's just everything is fucked and we're fucked and that's it. I think that that really applies to just about any issue. You know, in my experience, people who really want to focus on how bad things are, and despite any possibility of a solution, they keep going to how bad things are. I think there's a tendency there for them to be more interested in the problem than the solution. There's a kind of drama that they get from raging about how their ex-husband sucks, or how messed up capitalism is, or the unfairness of a corporate hierarchy. And at least for me, what I want is I want to be a loving friend who supports the people I care about when they struggle with things, but I don't want to be a repository for someone's rage or their drama. Side note on this, keep your awareness also on the person who has that problem-focused orientation, but couches it all in terms of sarcasm or making it kind of funny. It's the same issue, but just covered over by that lighter tone. And I do love a funny, sarcastic type. I've been that myself. You know, we all have, right? Like, it's a way of kind of like lightening the load when the topic is intense. But the question is it always, or at least chronically, a kind of condescending sarcasm? Like, you say something about the issue and they're like, yeah, shocker. Or they use a tone like, can't say I'm surprised. That gets old. And it also indicates judgment and a lack of graciousness that other people or systems or life might be fallible. And that is the thing about why I look at how people frame problems and encourage you to look at that too. Life is not perfect. Shocker, right? It seemed like an appropriate moment to make that joke. But really and truly, like, there's no perfect system. There's no perfect society. There's no perfect person. There's no perfect job. There's no perfect partner. So whether it's someone raging about things that aren't right, or someone being sarcastic and condescending about things that aren't right, when this is chronic or their orientation to life, it's a red flag. How are they going to treat you when you show up imperfectly? All right. So let's kind of just transition a bit and see where we're going here. So far I've been talking about things to look for when you're first meeting someone, you're wanting to find friends, you're wanting to be on the lookout for things to see if a better connection can develop. So you're looking for people whose effort to be in touch with you reflects the effort needed to actually forge that initial connection and see if it's a match to be friends. You're looking for people who seem to value accountability, as evidenced by generally, most of the time, nobody's perfect, but generally how they treat their time, their money, their job, or other things that require follow through. And you want to look for people who frame problems as solvable, even if they're frustrating to deal with, rather than people who have a problem-focused framing or orientation. So here's the last point I'll make about how to find better friends. It's actually about you. It's actually about you. Now, personally, I believe that I shouldn't ask for anything of someone else I'm in relationship with that I'm not willing to work on or bring to the relationship myself. And note that I said work on or bring to the relationship. Like I've been saying, nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. I don't think you're perfect. I don't think anyone you meet is going to be perfect. So I don't think it's helpful for you to think, oh no, that means that until I totally resolve my own issues with self-love and having compassion for myself, I won't be able to connect with caring, loving, compassionate people. No, not saying that. So what am I saying? Well, I've talked about effort, accountability, and a general orientation towards life that is solution-seeking. And at the top of the episode, I asked you, what do you actually want in friendships? So here's where some of those questions will come back. Do you want friends who text you back? Be someone who texts people back. Do you want friends who make time for you to meet up in person? Make the time for others. Do you want to be around people who are solution-seeking when times are tough? Notice your own language. Actively shift it from focusing on a problem to focusing on a solution. Do you want to be around people who are gracious in the face of mistakes? Talk about problems from an understanding that life is imperfect. People are imperfect. Everyone's doing the best they can. They still are going to fall short. That's being human. How do you talk about mistakes? How are you gracious in the face of that? In essence, do you want to be connected to integrated, self-aware, creative, connected people who are functioning with an adult level of maturity? Great, you do. Then you've got to bring that too. And since no one is perfect, you won't bring it perfectly. You won't bring it 100% of the time. But the idea is that you're actively trying to be someone who is integrated, creative, connected, self-aware, and that you're seeking friendships where that is the case as well. And I think there's some good news as you're considering who you want to connect with and what you bring to the table. The very fact that this is important to you, that you've listened to this episode to contemplate how to find better friends, that says everything about the person you are and the person you're becoming and the people who are going to find you. All right, that's today's episode of the Your Courageous Life podcast. Thank you for listening. To dive in deeper and continue the work, head on over to yourcourageouslife.com. See you there.